Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Hey, today's going to be a little different. We're throwing you off a little bit. So some of you are like, what's going on? Derek's out here a little early. That's okay. Here's the really I'm going to throw you out. I'm going to start preaching right now. So if you have your Bible, I want you to go ahead and grab it. And you're like, what is going on? I know it's kind of twilight. That's all right. We're going to run with this. What I want to do today is I want to open up with a few words, and then I want to have the band play an incredible song that's going to tie into the message. And then I'm going to finish up my message. But today we're going to continue this series that's entitled Fuel, where we're saying, you know, what is powering you? Like my car, I put fuel in it. I put gas or diesel in it. Hopefully you get the right one. And it sends us along the road. What is fueling you? And so we've talked about Jesus and how everything that Jesus did was fueled by love. Every thought that he had was rooted in love. Every word that he said was saturated in love. Every deed that he did, every action he took was from a pure place of love. And we know that because we see the scriptures in 1 John, it says that God is love. And who is Jesus? He is fully God. And so therefore, everything Jesus did and said was from a place of love. And as his followers, we wanna be just like that. We wanna learn to be and walk the way he walked this earth. When he was walking the earth, we see in Matthew 22, which has been the anchor scripture that we've been in, Matthew 22, he has a lawyer, not Kyle, who's on the keys. He's a lawyer, but not that kind of lawyer. He's actually a guy who understood the law, the Judeo law, the Jewish law. And he comes up to Jesus and he says this. He says, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets, right? And so in this series, we've been taking apart this teaching of Jesus one by one. And so the first thing I want you to know today is that we have a God of order and sequence, right? This is who God is. He is a God of order. He's a God of sequence. We think about creation, that he had a rhyme and reason to his speaking out creation. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and then resting on day seven. God had a plan. And as a former engineer, man, I love that God is a God of order, that he has a plan, that he has a vision of what's gonna happen, just like he gave Noah the design of the ark, right? God had order. He knew what was supposed to happen. Or when he told the Israelites to build a temple, he didn't just say, hey, you know, go down to Lowe's and get some lumber. No, he gave them the exact thing to do. And he took all those amazing architects, all those amazing artists, and they put together and lived out and executed the plan of God. Why? Because he is a plan, a God of planning. He's a God of order. He's a God of sequence. And it is the same for how we commune with him through love, right? For us to have this as yourself that we see tucked in the scripture, like love yourself or love others as yourself. We don't talk about that very much. But if we're gonna love our community, if we're gonna be a blessing to our community, it begins with first loving ourselves. And so what we need to see this morning is that godly self-love must be preceded by two things. We've gotta receive God's love and we gotta love God. And when we've done those, when those dominoes are in effect, we've received God's love, then we love God, then we are prepared to really love ourselves in a God-honoring way. And so that's what I wanna talk about today. I wanna talk about what does it look like for you and me to really love ourselves in the way that God would have us love ourselves. And as we see this mandate, this passage that Jesus speaks to this lawyer, what we see is this truth, and this is gonna mess some of you up. And so I hope today, some of us get shaken up a little bit, because this is what I want you to see, is that when we don't love ourselves, we are actually opposing God. I want you to hear that. When you do not love yourself as God loves you, you are actually walking in opposition to God himself. Now that may sound like a big deal. Maybe it sounds like a little deal. Listen, God is our friend for sure. Man, he's so compassionate, but let me tell you, God is still God. The scriptures told us to fear God, not to run from him, but actually to draw near to him. And as I've learned more and more about God, as I've encountered him, this is what I want. I don't want to be on the opposite team of God. Anybody else agree? Like my fear of God, my healthy God fear actually wants me to be right up next to him. Man, I don't want to be anywhere else that God isn't. Man, I want to be on his side of what he thinks, what he acts. This is what I want. And so this is the same for God's mandate through Jesus to love others as you've loved yourself. And so I've asked the band to put together a song that I think is an incredible picture of this. The song is called Mistakes. And what you're gonna hear, this incredible truth in this song, is that God doesn't make a mistake, and he didn't begin with you. And so I want you to sit back. I want you to consider the words that are being said as they sing. And I hope that the Holy Spirit will stir in you some truth. Yeah, we can clap for that. Now that song though, man, it's packed with so much truth, but it may challenge us a little bit this morning, right? You see, I think what keeps us from loving ourselves is that I think sometimes we think that God really did make a mistake, that he somehow didn't make us the way he wanted to make us. And I think the line of that song that I love is, it says that I won't spend another day listening to the things that you haven't said. Man, that right there would preach, man, all day long. Like, what's it look like to love ourselves? And do we really believe this simple tagline that God does not make a mistake and he did not start with you? Like it should be good that we wrestle with that phrase. Does God make mistakes? And did he make a mistake when he created you? That's a question we should ask today. Because on that is going to hinge whether we can really love ourselves or not, how we view ourselves, the words that we hear. And what we do is we frame up much of our understanding of God and much of our understanding of who we are in a very early part of the scriptures and actually the first book in Genesis. We see the creation story, and then what you've heard of me teach oftentimes, and you'll hear me reference this quite often, is at the sixth day of creation, God creates all the animals and all that stuff, but then he moves on to the pinnacle of his creation, and that's mankind. And he creates Adam and Eve. He creates man and woman. Now look at the scripture here in Genesis. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Then it goes on. He goes on and says, let them have dominion over all the livestock. And then we see the next verse here, verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created. Now this is incredibly important for us to understand our understanding, our doctrine, our theology of who God is and who we are. And the only way that we can really love ourselves is if we really understand and buy into what the scriptures tell us from Genesis 1, 26 and 27, that you are made in God's image. And he didn't make a mistake when he made you. And when we talk about this image bearing, that we bear God's image, every one of us, one of the words that we oftentimes associate that with that here at this church is identity. This whole notion of identity. You hear me preach about it. You hear us have some different classes on what does it mean to have our identity. Our identity is really how God longs to show the world who he is. It's how each of us have this unique thing. Each of us have an identity. And this is the definition that I'd love for you to see here of identity. Your identity is the blueprint in the heart of God. Just think about that. Just if we just stop right there. Your identity, your uniqueness, how God created, it is the heart, the blueprint in the heart of God when he created you, by which he longs to reveal his nature uniquely on this earth. Now, you've heard this said time and time again, but it's always good to hear this. Listen, there never has been one of you before you. There never will be another. You have been uniquely designed and wired and put together by God to image bear, to bear his image, to express him on this earth. There never will be another specific expression of the King that you carry on this earth. Do you know that? And he didn't make a mistake when he put you together. It's not like, oh my goodness, we hit the first three steps of creation, but Lord, I forgot when I made Derek fourth step. Oh my, I made a mistake, right? God doesn't do that. Like, he did not make a mistake when he created. You are a unique expression of the Creator on this earth. Now, we've got to think of a little bigger picture than just our bodies, because sometimes we get hung up and we just think about our bodies. But when God created you, he made you much more than just a body, a flesh filled with water walking around this earth that's going to die and be put in the ground and decay. You are more than that. He also made you as an image bearer to actually have a spirit. And you reflect the image of God, because that spirit, just as God does, is meant to last for eternity. God designed you to be part of his creation and part of his pleasure for all time. And so when he made you, he created you with the spirit. And in that soul, he has given a unique identity. And I believe for us to really love ourselves, part of loving ourselves is understanding that unique identity that God has given us so that we can walk in it. Because I know a lot of people, man, they're walking around this earth, they're pursuing things, they're trying to get things. They don't really know who God's made them. And therefore, they are always questioning, am I enough? Does God love me? Am I of any value? And these are the questions we ask. So if we're going to love ourselves, if we're going to carry out the command of Jesus to love ourselves so that we can love others, we've got to first know our identity. Now, when we're talking about identity and loving ourselves, we also got to recognize that God loves sinners. Can we all say amen to that? That's the only chance I got. He loves sinners just like me. But let me just tell you, God never loves sin. Man, we gotta not miss this. Like, God loves you, sinner. You're jacked up. I'm jacked up. He loves you, but he doesn't like and love the things that are jacked up in your life because they're actually distorting the image that he has you bear, right? Our sin nature, our sin patterns, the things that we struggle with when we're opposing God, those things actually distort and muddy the water of the world seeing the image of God that we bear. Yeah, isn't it so good that God loves us anyhow? My goodness. Grace upon grace, but he doesn't love your sin. He loves you the way he made you. And if you're a follower of Jesus, this is what God sees when he sees you. He sees Jesus's blood on you. He sees you as the perfected place that he has made you and designed you to be. That's what God sees you as. And our work on this universe or on this earth through the power of the Holy Spirit is to actually become on this earth as God already sees us. God sees you as perfect and holy and just and everything right as he created you. What we're doing on this navigating this round ball that we're on, we're actually, as we're following Jesus, filled with the Spirit, we're actually becoming more and more who God already sees us as. That's what we're doing. And so, man, God loves you so much, but I'm telling you, we can't think that God wants you to love your sin. That would be against who he is. He is holy and perfect and just. Right? Now, as I was thinking about this, I was drawn to a passage that I never made the connection. So God said in Genesis that we are made in God's image. If we look at Colossians, this is talking about Jesus. This is Colossians chapter 1, the early part of this. This link is quite intriguing. He says that Jesus, he's speaking of Jesus here, he is the image. Where did we heard that word before? Genesis chapter 1, right? We are made in God's image. Look what Jesus is. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and earth, invisible and visible, right? So what was Jesus when he was walking this earth? He was the exact expression of the image of God on this earth. You know why he was able to be that? Not just because he was God, that's a given, but because he was without sin. And because he had no sin to distort the image of God that he wore, he was able to show the world what the Father looked like. And I want you to hear this. That your sin, it never removes the identity that God has placed in your life, the image bearing in your life, but it does distort it, right? And this should frame up how we view other people, that I don't care how bad somebody is, I don't care what they've done, I don't care how many wrong decisions they've made, all of those things, think of the worst person you can think of on this planet, that person is still made in the image of God. Ah! You're kidding me. No, you know why? Because God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. And that gives hope to all of us that even that person that we're like, man, I don't want to be like that person is made in the image of God, but their sin, their opposition of God has distorted that and has covered that up. And they're no longer actually allowing the world to see how God has made them to be, right? This is why Jesus has come, to restore you to relationship with the Father, but to also empower you with the Spirit so you can walk as he walked, to have victory over sin and death. And by doing that, actually express the Father on this earth more beautifully than you could without him. Somebody say amen. Give me a little encouragement here. Like, we are made in God's image. But here's the thing I know about loving ourselves is we've got to first get away from all the lies that we believe. So here is the beginning. If you want to know where this starts, this is the beginning of loving yourself. It begins with aligning our thoughts, the way we think, our words, the way we speak, and our actions towards ourselves to align with God's thoughts, God's words, and God's actions towards us. When we begin to actually align our words, our actions, and our mind, and look at ourselves the way that God does, I'm telling you, that is where we can actually begin the process of loving ourselves. And so that gives great reason of why we should want to read our Bibles. Not because our pastor said so, not because I got to hit my quiet time, none of those reasons. One of the great reasons why we should open up this book and ask the Spirit to speak to us is because in it we find out what God thinks of us. And I don't know about you, but the culture says a lot of things. My flesh says a lot of things. I got an enemy whispering in my ear, telling me things about myself that I need to check. Is that true or not, right? And so if we're going to love ourselves, we got to know what God says. And let me just read one passage to you that I think should give us some hope and encouragement of what God thinks of us. This is Psalm 139. I'd love for you to check it out later today. This is from the Passion Translation. This is what David writes. He says, "You saw who you created me to be before I became me." Man, that right there, just think about that. You saw who you created me to be before I became to be. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you had planned for me were already recorded in your book. Now listen to this. Every single moment you are thinking of me. Like, do you know that? Even when you're not thinking about God, you know he's thinking of you. It says, every moment you're thinking of me, how precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. And I look at the next one. This is going to blow your mind. Oh God, your desires towards me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. Man, Kim had stopped me in between services and she was telling me about another pastor that said, just grab a handful of sand and begin to take each grain and tell God that you love about your spouse or about your kid or about your parents, you would run out really quick of things to say. But God says toward every single one of us in this room that you take all the sand on every shore of the world and he would never run out of things good to say about you. Do we think that way about ourselves? No, we don't, right? But if we're going to begin to love ourselves, I think we've got to begin to adopt a mind that sees ourselves as God sees ourselves, right? But I know that's so, so hard. And so today I want to close the message portion before we head into worship with actually having my bride, Kate. Are you back there, Kate? Can you guys give it up for my wife, Kate, here? She's going to share just a little bit. I think we've got some chairs coming out here. Awesome. Yeah, so she's going to share a little bit. So, babe, why don't you just share with our church family here just for a second, just a little bit of background, because this whole idea of loving ourselves, loving yourself has not, I'm going to get real close because we're married. I always, you know, you've heard people say when people are dating, leave room for the Holy Spirit. I'm like, leave room for Jesus between you and my daughter, right? So you'll get that later. Anyhow, so give us just a little background of a season where it was a little difficult for you to love yourself.
So we were living in Houston, and Derek was transitioning from the corporate world into ministry. He kind of had one foot over here, one foot over here, and our life was very full at that time. And Derek was doing a lot of ministry events. He was having a lot of people in our home doing premarital counseling, marriage counseling, really weighty, heavy stuff. And, you know, ministry involves people, and I like people. I like people in small, quick doses.
Somebody else, some introvert said amen to that, right?
It's just the truth.
Lots of introverts said amen to that. That's good, yeah.
I do love people.
Yeah, just, you do. Just yep. Enough of them, yeah.
So we were having lots of people in our home. I'm serving them, which was great. But this season was leaving me wilted, and it was energizing Derek. He was loving it. He was diving in, thriving, and I felt like I was dying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what did that make you feel like? So in this season, when we were transitioning, I was more alive than ever before. You felt like you were not alive, that you were dying. I would say you didn't even love yourself, but you didn't even like yourself for a big portion of that. So tell us just some of the real emotions that you were having during that season.
Yeah, so I really looked at myself and thought, something is so wrong with me, because a lot of the people around us were more Derek's personality, and I just thought, why can't I be like that? And it got really, really dark for a time. I began having thoughts of, you know what? I think it might be better if my personality wasn't around, especially in our marriage, because I felt like I was holding Derek back from some of the kingdom work that he was called to. So it got pretty dire.
Yeah. And so maybe some of y'all can relate to that, just being in a situation where you're like, man, like, should I even be in this situation? Like, am I even adding value? Maybe it'd be better if I wasn't here. I think if we're honest, people in this room, a lot of people have had those thoughts at some point. And so you were in the middle of that. didn't make for a fun marriage really at all. It was a pretty rough marriage, right? For that season of our life. And so in the middle of that though, by God's grace, he let some light in just a little bit, cracked the door. Why don't you give us just the testimony of how God spoke to you in that season?
I've been excited all week to share this story. I've shared it on my blog before, so I'm sorry if it's redundant for you, but I go back to this a lot in my mind. It really still carries me and helps me. It was a day, I remember it was raining, and we were driving down the road down Westheimer in Houston. We had just come from a ministry event where there were lots of people, and we were, our kids were in the back of the van, and we were discussing the week ahead. And the week was very full, and it was involving lots of people in and out of the house and a lot of serving. And in that moment, I just almost felt like fainting, just thinking about what was ahead over the next few days. And we were kind of arguing about it, because we do argue sometimes.
We were having a lively discussion for some of y'all, you know, that, what that looks like. Yeah, we never argue, do we? Never. Just so you know, your pastor didn't. Pastor's wife definitely argue sometimes, but we make up. We kiss and make up, right?
I'm always right.
That's
too.
Right. You are right. That's right.
You know, we were kind of going back and forth about it, and I don't know if you do this, but when I'm upset with Derek, I don't want him to even think I'm looking in his direction, like, at all. So I'm in the car like this.
Looking out the window.
And did not even want to give him the pleasure of thinking that I was looking at him. And so I'm looking out the window, and I just started to pray, because I felt so weird in that moment. I felt so different from you.
Wrong,
in a
right?
bad way. Yeah, in that moment. And so this was my literal prayer to God. God, am I this way? Am I different by damage, or am I different by design? Mm-hmm. And honestly, I didn't think I'd get an answer, because I thought I already knew it. Yeah. I thought that if God were in front of me, he would say, You are damaged, and you need to get yourself together so that you can serve shoulder to shoulder with your husband, is what I thought. So just in my head, I was praying, God, am I different by damage or design? Did you make me this way or not? And about 30 to 60 seconds later, within a minute, we drove through a large intersection. We had the green light. Of course, I'm facing the window because I am not looking at him. And there's a huge box truck sitting at the red light. And on the front and on the side, in huge, bold black letters, it said, different by design.
Literally, like, I'm telling you, don't ever underestimate how God's gonna speak to you.
Yeah.
He can use a furniture truck in Houston to answer a prayer in 30 seconds. And literally, it did. So what did that, like, in that moment, what happened in you? Because that was a hard season.
Yeah, if somebody else were telling the story, I would go, oh, that's a really cute coincidence that you had there. No, I knew in my head and in my heart that was from the Lord. And it was not what I expected to hear.
Yeah.
And in that moment, things did start to change. Shortly after that, our women's pastor, we had a retreat. She started teaching us how to ask God who we are in him, and getting in the word and what that looks like, and listening prayer and all of that. And so that happened. I ran into some books. I learned about the Enneagram, which I know is, like, really hot right now, but it's really helped me to understand who I am. And I'm still on that journey, I would say.
Yeah. And so a big part of your journey has been, God, who do you say that I am? Right? God, asking him in prayer, but also in the word. Like we said, like, the reason why we need to know this book is we got to combat the lies of the enemy, right? He'll take us to task every time. If he's saying things, whispering things in your ear, like, you're not worthy, you're not supposed to be married to a pastor, if we don't stand on the truth of God, right? And so it was beautiful to see you navigate that. And man, we're both still works in progress, trying to learn what it means to be loved by God and to love ourselves. But it's amazing to see the process that you're in and how you're doing it. So in this room, we've got, man, people from all over the place that are in different ends of the spectrum. Some probably resonate a whole lot with you, maybe in a season of darkness right now, where they're struggling to feel like they got worth, struggling to think maybe their life isn't really necessary, right? And we're getting ready to sing a song that talks about who God says we are, that I am who you say I am. So what encouragement would you give our church family here on this whole notion of loving ourselves? What would you say to them right now?
First, I would say that I just want you to know there are things about me that are there by damage and that need to be redeemed. Being more contemplative needing a slower, a little more introverted life is not one of them. So know that. But we have to identify the lies that we're believing before we can receive the truth.
That's good.
And when we look at the lies, sometimes they can feel so true because we even have evidence of them sometimes. But receiving the truth from the Lord in the Word, in prayer, in fellowship, we can identify who we are. And then also, the main thing, how we get ourselves, is getting God. And when you are spending time with the Lord, He will begin to show you the parts of Himself that He has imaged onto you. And there's nothing that beats that.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful. And it's been, I almost feel like Jesus is just delighted that I'm loving who He made me to be now.
That's good. And the great news is that's for every single one of us. Like, that's not just for Kate. Like, God wants to speak those words over every one of us. And so here's what we're going to do today. We haven't sang much. And so I know, man, we love to sing here at this church. We love to worship. And so we're going to move into worship. And as we've structured the songs today, we recognize what we're going to talk about. And so the songs we're going to sing are packed full of truth of who God says you are. So if today you're struggling a little bit, man, who's God say? You're going to hear some incredible truth from the scriptures in the songs that we hear of what God thinks of you, what God says about you. And our hope is that today that you would receive those and we would all align ourselves with those truths. And so here's what's going to happen. I'm going to ask you to stand up. We're going to sing here in a second. I want to pray over us, though, before we head into this. God was so gracious, first service, and really brought, I think, some real hope to some people in this room, the first service. And I believe He's going to do the same thing in the second service here right now while we're getting ready to sing. And so here's what I'm going to invite you. I want to pray over us, though. I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes for a moment. And today, as I'm praying, if that whole thought resonates with you that, man, there's just, it's hard for you to think about loving yourself. It's hard for you to even think that God loves you. I just want you to put your hand over your heart right now. Nobody else is going to see you, just you and the Lord. And I want to pray over you right now. And I pray that you would receive this by the Spirit, that it would stir up hope and truth and love in you. So Lord, right now, just by the authority and power you've given us as your sons and daughters, Lord, right now as your son, I just say, Lord, we rebuke the spirit of depression. We rebuke the spirit of self-rejection, self-hatred. We rebuke the spirit of suicide. Lord, we rebuke this thought that somehow we aren't enough in your eyes. So Lord, as we label that lie right now, as we recognize that in this room, man, there are people that are struggling with that, we also speak your truth that you are a God who loves us from the very beginning. Before we ever were born, you loved us. And you've made a way through Jesus to be restored back to the Father. And so Lord, I pray that as we sing these songs, this truth would reverberate in our souls. That this truth would come out of us. It would actually transform our hearts and our minds. That we would align with you, the King, that we would really believe that you are who you say you are, and we are who you say you are. By the power of Jesus and His Holy Spirit, we say yes. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this together, church. Amen.